what integration was like.
I wanted to ask you what preparation there was at Lincoln High School for integration.
I don't remember any preparation for it. We were just assigned to another school, and it was an integrated school. But I don't know of anything we had to do to get ready for it. Just go over there and teach.
And the students? Did the students want to leave Lincoln High School?
I don't think the students really wanted to leave, because they felt like that was their school.
Lincoln was their school?
Yeah.
Did they take any kind of a vote to stay or leave?
No, it wasn't done like that. It was passed down for us to go. I don't know who made the decision. The system, I guess, just made the decision to integrate their schools. So, we had to go if you wanted your job.
And your new teaching position was at Phillips?
Phillips.
What did you teach there?
I taught social studies.
Eighth grade?
Eighth grade. And they changed classes there and had you to teach one subject.
What was it like the first couple years at Phillips?
A lot of things happened. You didn't know when they were going to happen. The kids weren't happy, both black and white. And if the teachers weren't happy, they tried not to show it.
Was Phillips a new school?
No, it wasn't a new school.
So it had been open for a while and was
right.
All white before, or was it integrated?
It was all white before. If they had integration, you know, it's that token, one or two. Now, they had built the high school, hadn't they? Yeah.
Yeah, 66, the high school opened.
Yeah, they, well.
Did they have sit-ins at Phillips?
Oh, yes. There were days when the kids would come to school, and let's see, the white kids says, we're not going to school today. We're not going to go in those classes with black kids. So they wouldn't go. And
Where would they go? Would they stay at the school and sit in the hallways?
Yes, sit in the halls and things. But the thing that I remember most was, yeah, they would sit in the halls. And I remember that they, separated them since they came out and wanted to go sit with each other. So the black kids went in the library, and the white kids went in the gym.
And they just sat there?
And sat there.
And refused to go to class?
Refused to go. They finally went, I think, that time.
Did they have to call people in to get them to?
Oh, yes. I was trying to separate things because I remember several things that happened. I know one time, they called central office, and all the people from central office came. And I guess they thought they could handle it, but they couldn't. The kids talked to them just like they talked to anybody else.
How was that?
Get out of my face. Leave me alone. And I don't care if you're a superintendent.
The white kids and the black kids,
yeah,
both talked the same way?
Yeah.
What was the problem that they didn't want to go to class?
I don't know the root of the problem right off, but I remember that happening. And I was standing out there in my door and heard them talk to some people like that. But the thing that I remember most was one day they decided that they weren't coming, to class that day. And so the black kids and the white kids were against the teachers. So they said, black and white together, we can't be moved. So they went and sat out in the middle of the road in front of Phillips.
On Estes Drive?
On Estes Drive. And I remember the guidance counselor went out and told them, said, we don't care if you don't come to class, for we wouldn't like to see you get killed. And said, some people would be crazy enough to run through this crowd out of here. Said, if y'all gonna sit in, if you all are gonna sit in, come and sit on the parking lot. So they listened. And the parking lot was right outside my window.
Did they ever call any of the leaders from Lincoln High School to get the black kids to go back to class?
I told you they called them.
From the central office?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's when they were talking to them anyway, in a kind of way.
Who were the people from the central office that you remember coming in to talk to them?
I don't know. I think about that later, who was over there. But anyway, they sat out there on that parking lot, and they sang, we shall not be moved. Black and white together, we shall not be moved. So they didn't bother.
It sounds as though it's very different from what happened at the high school, where people describe a wall being built between the blacks and the whites. Did you see that wall at Phillips?
No. Well, sometimes, and this didn't happen every day. I don't know what happened that, you know, I told you today that they separated them in the gym and in the library. I don't know how that got started. I do know some people came out from central office for that, and they thought they could handle it, and it made it worse because they talked to them any kind of way.
That's very different from what I have heard about the discipline at Lincoln and in the African American community, where you just didn't talk back.
Well, they talked back.
To their elders.
They talked back. And then, I remember, some kids didn't want to be involved. They were afraid to go out there with them. So, when I knew anything, my door was opened, and they said, if any of you in here, come out. Come out now. They were afraid to stay and afraid to go. And I remember some kids hid back. I had a little office. And some kids went back there and hid. Because they were confused. They didn't know what to do. But in that black and white together, we shall not be moved. They just sat there. They wouldn't move. They sat out there about an hour and they sang and carried on.
What did they want? I mean, did they have a list of demands or concerns?
I don't know what happened to start those up, those things up. When I knew anything, they were into them, you know.
Was that the first year that that happened?
Yes.
When did it end?
I don't think it. So every now and then, something would happen the next year. But it wasn't an ongoing thing. Something would happen to make them break out again. But anyway, nobody bothered them, let them stay there as long as they wanted to stay. And everybody was doing what they had to do and paying it no mind. And after a while, they got up and came inside, went on to their classes. We used to laugh about that.
Did you see physical abuse? Did you see fighting among the races?
No, I don't remember seeing that.
Did you hear verbal abuse?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I did. From both blacks and whites. And then there were some parents who didn't want black teachers teaching their children. And I always had good rapport with my kids, the kids that I taught, black and white. And I remember one time when Seals was across from the bus station. I was in Seals, And I saw a little boy that I taught. He was with his parents. And he said, was so glad to see me. He was making me see him and speak. And his daddy said, "You get in front of me and get on up those steps." They were going up the escalator. And don't say nothing else.
This was a white family?
Yes. And so the little boy really did like me. And do you know what? That was in the early fall. And I'll never forget it. At Christmas time, he bought me a little gift. And he said, "My daddy told me to give this to you and tell you they sent it."
Sort of forgive me, please?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that.
Did you continue to make home visits?
No. Home visits weren't in style over there. But if it was somebody I needed to see, I would see. But the parents came to school to visit the teachers. They had time set aside for that. Yeah, I remember that because especially before, or when the kids got their grades, parents would come and see sometimes why they got something. And I'll never forget when I issued my first grades, I looked outside my door and it was a line of parents, mostly white. Anyway, I got through that.
What was the thing that brought the parents there, that line of parents?
Well, they had conferences with the teachers. But everybody had a conference with me. And I think most of the whites, you could tell who was what with the white people. Because the ones that didn't want you to teach their kids, they were there.
Mm-hmm. How'd they treat you?
They were all right. They said, "Why did my child get this, that, and other?" I said, "That's what they deserved." I didn't change anything. I remember that.
They give you a tough time?
They did. "Why did they get so-and-so? Why didn't they so-and-so?" I said, "Well, what do you think they should have gotten? Tell me how you come up with that." And in the end, it worked out fine because I didn't give away an inch. And anyway, I just didn't have any trouble. After I got over that, you know, they got, "Well, she's here and is going to be here. And I guess she's right."
What's the difference, in your view, between making a visit to a child's home and having the parent come to the school?
Well, you can see more parents if you have them come to the school. Because there's no way you could get around to seeing everybody. Especially teaching social studies to eighth graders, and you have five different classes.
Oh yeah, you couldn't make every
home visit. You couldn't do that, see.
But let's say that it was one class. What would you prefer, to make a home visit or have the teachers come to your school in the way of benefit for the child?
Well, I would prefer the teachers come to the school because if I needed, the parents come to the school. Because if I needed to visit a home, I could call and try to make arrangements for that. It wasn't that I didn't do it anymore. I taught too many kids, but if I felt that I need to go here and see, then I could. I didn't feel like I needed to go to every home.
What were the other problems that you saw during integration besides the sit-ins and the verbal abuse from both sides?
Well, I don't know. I don't think some folk were very patient with kids who had problems. If you had some slow children, some teachers didn't want to teach them. And then, too, that's when they started
tracking
and what else did they do? laboring kids.
Oh, labeling them.
Right. That's when all that started with integration.
So you could segregate the kids within
right,
the school.
Right, right.
The smart ones and the medium ones and the slow ones.
Right. I tell you what I did. If I saw a parent needed to come and see about their students being tracked and what have you, I took it upon myself to call them and tell them. Yeah, I would say, so-and-so, your child is going to be put in a slow class, and your child isn't slow. And you need to come out here and see about it. They come.
Who made that decision to put a child in a slow class?
Well, say the math teachers would get together,
mm-hmm.
and they said, he shouldn't be in this class. He can't keep up with these kids. And like that, you know, and they would make the groups. And then to you had to watch that. That's one thing that happened during integration. And I said, if I lose my job, I'm going to tell it every time. And I'd call parents and tell them, come out here and see what is about to happen to your child. Because as soon as I find it out, I'd call them and tell them. That would really segregate them, put them all together.
And I take it that they segregated the black students to one group?
Right. According to their ability.
Mm-hmm. And the ability of the blacks was, how was it different from the ability of the whites in the view of the teachers?
Well, the blacks were always the slow learners and couldn't do, so they would end up in a group together. And they would end up being labeled. Send them in to be tested, because I said, don't ever sign that stuff. Don't sign it. They get the parents to come out and show them what they're going to do and make it sound all right, and then the parents would have to sign it.
To put them in a slow class.
Right.
How long did tracking go on? And this.
Well, it wasn't so much tracking as it was labeling kids.
How long did the labeling go on?
It was there when I left.
And you left in 1990?
Yeah.
Is it still there?
I don't know about now, because I haven't been back since I left. Oh, but
were there benefits to the integration of the school that you could see?
Well, there were. I said that they were able to get all use of all the materials that they hadn't been able to, you know, yet, because they had everything. An integrated school. I'm trying to think if I can think of anything else. One thing they said that the black kids had a lot of discipline problems. Sometimes the teachers made the problems, because you see found kids that never were in trouble before. Now they're a discipline problem.
How do you think the teacher created that problem?
Well, kids aren't crazy, you know. They know how you say something and what you say. They were able to tell. They know how you speak to them and how you speak to somebody else.
Did you hear that from the students, that the white teachers treated them differently from
the
black teachers?
Yeah, they tell you.
Was that a common thing?
Yeah, I knew who they were. I knew when the kids were telling the truth and when they weren't.
So this wasn't uncommon to hear?
Mm-mm. No, it wasn't. they demanded so much respect from the black kids, but they didn't do the same for the whites. You're black and you don't talk to me, or you don't do this, you don't say that. You know, they demanded so much from them. They demand from white kids.
So it sounds almost like it's, let's keep the status quo.
Right. But,
did you see that change, Cecilia, over years?
Yeah, I did see some change. It got better. But I don't know. We lost a principal at Phillips because of integration. But I think he was the fairest principal that we ever had.
Who was that? Who was lost?
Austin Simpson. Mm-hmm. He was very fair.
Was he a white or black principal?
White. Mm-hmm.
So you thought he was a good principal?
I did.
Well, why did
And
you?
I still think he is.
Why did you lose him from the school?
Because of all that integration that he couldn't handle, that nobody could handle, because of people from central office came out there, they couldn't handle it. But they said that he couldn't do it. But he was the best principal that they ever had. At Phillips, he was very fair to the students, and he was fair to the teachers. I enjoyed working for him. And if I had to pick the best principal at Phillips, while I was there, it would be Austin Simpson.
How long did he stay there after integration?
A year, I think. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the students followed the lead of what was going on at the high school at that time?
I do. I think they did. And I think it was discussed at home and with us older siblings, and they followed the lead.
Mm-hmm. What was the effect on the students when Martin Luther King was killed?
That was in April, wasn't it?
68?
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Mm-hmm. And we went there in 66. We could have had a confusion then. I just can't bring it all together.
Were there other things that you recall that took place during integration that stand out?
No, not right now, I can't think of other things. The main thing was that black and white together.
Sort of odd, isn't it?
Right. That I won't ever forget. And you know, as I talk later on to Kissing, Miss Davis, can we have some time to talk about integration some days? What did it do out here? They want to know about it. I guess they heard it discussed somewhere. Can't we talk about it a little bit?
How did you handle that?
I said, sure, we can talk about it. We talked about it. They said, they were kind of crazy, weren't they? I said, I saw them.
It sounds as though discipline was different at the integrated school.
It was.
How was it different?
Because, as I said, the kids, the teachers some kind created friction between them and the students, and the students ended up in the office and being expelled and all that. And there were black kids who didn't respect them.
It's amazing to me that here's a group of students who had great discipline at Lincoln.
Right.
Quiet in the hallway.
Right.
No hats.
Right.
No chewing gum, a dress code,
mm-hmm.
No smoking.
And they got over there.
No talking back.
They were terrible. And they talked back sometimes, but they were provoked.
Do you think? I understand that they were provoked, and I'm not trying to make that a minor issue at all. But do you think that they were also angry that they had lost Lincoln High School?
No, I don't think that's what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I never heard it voiced that way from any of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I always heard them like, you know, this is what it's going to be everywhere. They didn't want to lose Lincoln High School, but they saw it as this is what it's going to be everywhere.
What do you mean when you say this is the way it's going to be everywhere?
Everywhere in North Carolina and all over. You hear on the radio what about what is being said about integration and the schools that are integrated. And it's a thing that's going to come to all schools. And we'll have to accept it. I never heard them really say that we want to go back over Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
How long do you think it took for this discipline problem and the sit-ins to end at Phillips?
I don't know, just 2 or 3 years, I guess. I can't remember when it actually came to an end.
Did the black students participate in student government and sports and clubs?
They did, sure.
Right from the get-go?
Right.
So there wasn't an issue there?
Mm-mm. No, it wasn't.
Now, Coach Pierman was there, as I remember. Is that not right?
Right.
The first year or two?
Right. I think, yeah.
Did he play any role in what went on there?
At Phillips?
Yes.
Yeah. We tried to keep him straight. I guess he was like anybody else when you found out it had already started. The kids would listen to him. That's why I said that I know that the students, you know, they aren't crazy. Such thing as spitting in somebody's face and telling them it's raining.
That went on?
Well, literally, you can spit in somebody's face and tell them it's raining. You can say anything and think they're going to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And children aren't that dumb. I mean, I've talked to kids who had problems. If I thought they were wrong, I would explain, tell them they can't do that or the other. But if they weren't wrong and the teacher asked me about it, I'd tell them that I don't think the child was wrong.
What were the PTA meetings like at...
All business.
Phillips, how are they different from the PTA meetings at Lincoln?
Well, they were different. You had an executive board, and you worked mostly through the executive board.
Committees?
Right. You didn't have that coming together and everybody talking and participating. Strictly business.
And at Lincoln, it wasn't strictly business?
Well, but I mean, if you're working on a project, you worked on that project. You didn't discuss students. You talked to them at parent conferences when they line up outside what you're doing. So PTA business at Phillips was mostly to see what the parents could do for the school.
Whereas at Lincoln, they talked about that and the student's performance?
Right. Well, not so much the student. Well, you could see the parents at PTA to talk about the student's performance. They maybe stopped early, so anybody who needs to see anybody could see them.
How else would they talk about students, if not performance? Now, you seem to be saying that there were other things about students that were discussed. No.
I didn't mean that.
Well, that was, I mean, that maybe I just inferred that. You hadn't really implied it. Are there other things that I haven't asked you that you want to bring up?
I can't think about many. If I do, I'll write them down.
All right, appreciate that.
Call you by a second time.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you taking the time.
I enjoy talking to you.
Well, I enjoy talking to you very much. Thank you.
I enjoy teaching.
I can see you did.
I really did.
You had a nice big smile on your face when you were talking about your students.
Well, that's how I felt when I was teaching them. Before integration and after integration, I felt that same way.
Do you think all the teachers felt that way?
I don't, because I feel that there are people teaching who aren't interested in teaching. They're just in it for something to do. You gotta love children, you gotta want to help them, and you gotta like what you're doing. And I figured there are some people who don't do any of that. And when I told you every time I went to the dentist, he said, he'd ask me just to see what I was going to say. And that would tickle me because he knew that I loved the kids. He said, I wish I could find some more to come in and say that.
Well, that's a great place to end right there, mm-hmm. on a positive note. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I enjoy talking to you.
As I did with you.